You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. It is noon on a Wednesday, which means that it is Hut in the Clock. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hut and Withrow, joins us now. Hutton, what a wild 48 hours that we've had as far as the Tennessee Titans are concerned. Just want to get first your overall initial reaction, Mike Vrabel's firing, and then the subsequent press conference that we heard from Rand Carthon yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, overall, good to be with you guys. I mean, I was surprised from the perspective of how it went about going down from the organizational direction, the vision of and structure of behind the scenes compared to, you know, 16 points per game to start the season and all of that. Like the idea in my mind, if Vrabel was going to be fired, would be an archaic offense, and it had zero to do with the firing. I think that's my biggest surprise from a on the field perspective. That's why I think the coach would be fired, not what's going on behind the scenes if you kept him last year. Also, just the way it's been handled. While we've heard from Amy Adams Strunk, and she's the owner, she can do whatever she wants. She laid out exactly why she wanted to fire Mike Vrabel with Mike Keith. I don't know the Titans' mission statement right now. And that, to me, is a failure. They have to lay that out. Rand's got to get up there yesterday, and he can't say, we'll let you know about what we want in a head coach. You have to deliver your mission statement.
Why can't he? Quickly, why can't he? Because he's only going by what the owner says. You can't circumvent the owner and then go rogue. You're going to lose your job. That's all I'm saying. You're right, Mace, in the sense of there should have been more. But if the owner said, this is the message I want coming out, then we have to take that and say, okay, Rand can only say so much. I get what you're saying, Hutt. I do.
But Rand was put in front of the media to say something, and I don't. I mean, if you don't want anyone saying anything, then don't hold the presser, or you do it yourself. Is my point. Like, when asked what you want in the head coach, and by the way, you know, it's Rand that's going to be doing this. Mm-hmm. He should have that criteria. I don't know why he can't say that in that moment. That was the biggest, like, eyebrow-raising
thing
for me.
So what if he says, I want an offensive mind, a guy that's going to take my quarterback to the next level, they swing and miss on two or three guys, and they end up going with a defensive coordinator? I mean, don't you think yourself into a corner a little bit there?
Willie, it's not even offensive or defensive coordinator. It is, okay, the catchphrase is collaboration, right? That was from Vrabel and Rand last year, and it seems like from day one that was a flat out lie. That there was nothing involved in there was nothing collaborative about that relationship. But yet, at the presser yesterday, it was all good. I just don't buy that. And then if you want that, you lay out the mission statement, the path of what you're looking for in your organization, and your team on the field, what you want it to the description of the team. Call it cliche, call it whatever, but the coach would fit that because this is about collaboration. So it doesn't have to be offensive, defensive minded. It's got to be in lockstep with the general manager, who is up there to present that criteria, that line, right?
But there's more than one way to do it, right? And you have to figure out who's the available pool. You got to learn about the people that you end up interviewing. It could go different directions.
But you know,
so I think if you state too much about what you're looking for, you still narrow too much your search.
You don't back yourself in the corner, though, because I'm not saying you're describing the coach. You're describing your organization. You're describing the team and what you want the team to look like. In the rebuild, by the way, they're about to rebuild this offseason.
Rebuild is a word that I think they would be smart to say.
They're going to go about doing that based on the perception of what they want this to look like. If you're building a home, there's a blueprint. I don't. You're going to have someone build the home for you, but I need to know the blueprint. I don't get the sense that there's a blueprint right now.
Well, he told you there was one, but he's not willing to share with anybody. So we got to take it. I think, again, like I told Caroline, and we all are at fault at this. Hell, I'm at fault at times. If you ask me a question, I give you an answer.
Okay.
It may not be to your liking, but you got to respect the answer that I gave you.
Okay. I think we're going to say the same thing here.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to agree with the decision. Mm-hmm. I want to understand it, though.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't think they laid it out there to where anyone understood. There's still questions about it. And there's questions about which direction they're going. They want to win. That's fine. I mean, Amy clearly wants to win based on the decisions she's made. She's paid 7 years combined on Robinson and Vrabel after a year over the last year. She wants to win. She's aggressive and she's not patient. There's going to take patience in this rebuild because it's going to take time based on this team. And I didn't hear the presser when Rand's in front of the media speaking to the fans where they're going and how they describe the team. And okay, if you want it to be offense, you want it to be it's not about that. I'm saying like just the if you're doing bullet points on how you're describing your business, it's different than your competition. Why are you different? Why are you making a change from where you were to where you're going? And I didn't hear that in the first availability after making a decision to go in that direction.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And I think that's my biggest concern, Hutt, is I don't feel, nor do I feel like a good portion of the Titans fan base feels, any sense of clarity of what the 2024 Titans are going to look like or what the goals of this organization are. I don't feel any sense of what this team wants, what Ran and what Amy want. My question for you is, how much do you trust Amy and Ran to get this hire right?
Well, I mean, I've seen Amy in the past. I mean, she's hired John Robinson. She's hired Mike Vrabel. She's made good hires. She's made good decisions in the past. And she's also made decisions on behalf of winning, because whenever they're losing back-to-back seasons, I mean, we heard what she said yesterday that was released yesterday by the team. So, I mean, there's no reason to doubt that they can't get the hire right. They have to get it right in regards to Rand Carthon. And that is evident. That is undisputed that Rand and this coach will be in lockstep. And what they had previous, they were not. So that's the biggest key, is it's Rand Carthon and the coach about going about this rebuild. And I mean, that's what I don't know. And I don't know to trust it or not. D Mace is right on that regard. But I want to understand what they're looking for in the vision of the team, how they want to see themselves in three seasons from now. I feel like any team should be able to describe that.
If they do that in a month, would that be satisfactory to you guys, the ones that think they lost the press conference yesterday? Like, after they hire a coach, then they lay that out there? Like, it's pretty clear to me. It's pretty clear.
If you're going to fire a coach because it doesn't align with
your
vision,
list their roster.
What is your vision?
Just list their talent level. Start listing the roster. You'll know what it is. It's a rebuild.
I think there was a reason why.
It's not about winning the press conference. Uh-huh. He should be able to do this last year. Mm-hmm. He got the job. He interviewed for the job and got the job. He clearly laid out the rebuild then, because that's what Amy wanted. She wanted to rebuild the depth of the roster, mm-hmm, based on what they used to have and what they have in San Francisco. Rand got the job by describing the blueprint, mm-hmm, and he didn't describe it yesterday.
And listen, I think there's a reason why it was, you know, Miss Amy chose to do her press conference just right. As Rand was right before Rand did his, because she wanted a message to be put out there. Whatever that message is, whether we agree with it or not, she wanted a message to be put out. There's a reason why she did it under that setting with Mike Keith. Okay. And now I, as a GM, I heard that message and everybody else heard it. I can't deviate from that because she's already set in place what I want. She said, listen, it wasn't, yes, it's the football stuff, but it's the organizational stuff that was just out of whack. Like, I needed to put things back. Things needed to be back in order. So I get that everyone wants, you know, Rand to, and hell, I would have wanted to hear more. But I do understand that you can only say so much when you're not the guy running a ship, meaning you're not the owner. Well, let me say this. You're not the guy that bought the ship. Let's say that. You're just the guy that's running it. And the guy that bought it or the lady that bought it, she's the one that we don't. And maybe we'll get a better clarification, you know. And let me know if you agree with that, Hutt.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a better clarification of, is Rand, it seems like Rand is going to be a big part of the hiring process of the head coach.
Yes.
Now, how much of that will Amy be involved? I don't know. Because, again, like y'all said, they didn't line it up there. They didn't spell it out for us. But that doesn't mean that she hasn't already discussed with him, this is what I want, you're in control of it, I must say what I need to say, you need to be in line with what I said, and we'll move forward.
No, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, Carthon's going to be, I mean, that's the biggest key in what I'm hearing is collaboration. They've been saying this, right? Well, if that, I mean, and by the way, I don't think there's an ego involved in having final say, because at some point you make a decision. And so I do think it's okay to have someone that has final say. Maybe, you know, and maybe they can't rant. I don't fault Rand for saying that yesterday because he doesn't know yet who the coach is going to be. If it's Jim Harbaugh's going to have final say. I mean, that we know that. But if it's someone else that, you know, Rand has connections with and that Amy signs off on and wants to hire, and they're on that same level playing field, okay. Then you have that same feel, that same vibe that he's describing yesterday in collaboration. So we don't know who the coach is yet to determine that answer. But the key here, not only he's got to be a good coach, because I think Vrabel is a good coach. He's a ball coach. You've also got to work and be on that same that you got to be in the same lane with Rand Carthon, because that's the lane that Amy's in, and that's, I mean, she chose Rand Carthon after the interviews that she had with him. And those interviews, by the way, were let's see, Burt Nihil, Adolfo Birch, Kenneth Adams, and Amy Adams Strunk. There may have been one other in the room as well for the interviews for the general manager. So I would suspect that on those interviews for the coach, they would also be included in that, plus Rand Carthon, who's going to be, you know, lining all of this up based on reports.
Hutt, would you categorize, and you've been around long enough to remember some of Bud Adams's moves, and I would John McClain used to always call him the Wildcat. So Wildcat, wild card. Do you think that label fits Amy Adams a little bit? Same kind of.
I would say
where she can be going in one direction, and then switch in a pretty rapid rate in a different direction.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a different direction. So it is a different direction. I would say this is the same direction she was in when she fired John Robinson. And I think that's lesson learned. And I was trying to say that throughout the season, very well in the hot seat. I said, well, John Robinson could be fired in December. That put everyone on notice, everyone, including Mike Vrabel. Everyone's still on notice. There's no doubt about this. From that perspective, yeah. But I think now it's not surprising, right? It's not a shocking move anymore based on what we've seen the last 2 years and the money she's paying Vrabel and Robinson with the years they had left on their contract, combined 7 years. And Vrabel ran through 2025, and they had a 2026 option on his contract. Let me also say, this is Mike Vrabel, he's not bummed about this. You know, it's not like he. I don't buy what Rand said yesterday about there being no issues whatsoever, because that's all we heard about all season long, is that they were not on the same wavelength, and that festered all season, and it took how long for those questions to pop up and Mike and Vrabel to actually discuss it last week, so I just don't. I don't buy that. And Vrabel now is, you know, free agent, quote unquote, and he'll land where he gets to choose where he goes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think you have to be prepared if you're Amy Adams, that when you let Mike Vrabel go, which I think is why it was probably wise for her to address the trade option, right? Yes. And sort of detail how difficult that would have been and how the rules are different than they used to be when John Gruden got traded. Because he is I think she realizes he is an asset, and he's probably going to go somewhere else. And there's a pretty good likelihood that if he's dealt a decent hand, he'll do well with that hand. I don't think they lost because they were poorly coached. Now, having said that, now she's backing Rand to a degree. I don't know what they're going to do putting other pieces around him, but if he's sort of given it, so Hutt. Let's take your theory, and I agree with it. There had to be some friction. Rand Carthon yesterday basically referred to, like, when I came in, I didn't want to just clear everybody out and bring in 12 new people. He brought in a couple people, but he was largely working with the old regime to a degree. Do you think that is now the direction he would like to go? Maybe surround himself with more people that he's worked with before. And so that would fall in line with Amy's long statement, where if you read closely, it's kind of like we want to keep evolving in our whole department. That's kind of what I took from that.
Yeah. So, and just giving the from Carthon's perspective, because the narrative is, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. Let's just look at it from the other side. I could also say, if he's bringing it from, I'm looking at it from his office perspective. Who he's with, Brinker, and everyone within that area of the building. Maybe he knew, at least he knew what he didn't know, and he's waiting to see how the process goes about finding his core group. Okay, that's a positive, I think, in year one as a first time general manager. Regardless of how you feel about it, at least he didn't hire people without giving them a chance within the building. Okay, or he has connections, and certain people are under contract, and he's waiting on certain things to play out, and maybe a year later they're available. Again, don't know, but that is just looking at it from a different perspective. That's also key in all this, is just the scouting department, Willie. You're right, just from the roster, and that's the ultimate piece to all this. Vrabel won games, and then he didn't, and the roster was awful when he didn't. They went downhill fast, and that was with Tannehill and with Henry on the roster, remaining on the roster. I wouldn't have fired Mike Vrabel. I do see why you would, if you don't want another offseason like we had last year, like we just witnessed, where it's one foot in, one foot out, because I think that's what they were headed for. That's why I say there's friction. Absolutely, there was friction, because we saw it from the first offseason together, where it was hard to describe whether or not they were trying to do it one more year or rebuilding. And now there's no question about what they're doing. That's good. At least they're not running it back again, where there's this, you know, purgatory of what they're doing, who they're trying to trade, who they're not. And that's some contract related, some just mindset related. Now we know that at least the mindset is break it down and build it back. And I mean, at least at this point, you don't have to break it down that much. It's pretty close to the bottom right now.
Looking ahead, Hutton, is there a short list of names or even just kind of qualities that you would look for ideally in the next Titans head coach?
Just from a coaching perspective, of leadership. That, I mean, right. I mean, look at who's selling jerseys as players right now. Which jerseys are going off the off the rack in the Titans Pro Shop.
If it's not Derrick Henry, I don't know who.
Well, I mean, Simmons. It can be Will Levis. I'm bringing this up. It'll be a free agent they bring in this offseason, whatever, Hopkins. I bring this up because whoever that coach is going to be the face of the franchise, because Carthon's saying he's not going to speak to the media all that much during the season, and Amy's not talking to the media. We know that. It's going to be the coach every day. And that's the message. That's who's representing the organization. That is crucial to a young team that they're going to bring in and put together. And on the flip side of that, this is an offensive league. It's a defensive league this season, because I think adjustments have been made defensively, but this is an offensive league where the defense catches up. And I mean, this has been an organization that has gone run the football and play great defense and good offense, and that'll win games. I would say let's see them crank it up a notch on the offensive side. And typically you see the hiring process go the opposite way. And I want to see Carthon and how he structures everything based on what we saw in San Francisco or with the Rams. I think that's also intriguing.
Yeah, I'd be totally on board with an offensive-minded head coach. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate your time. I have a feeling things are going to get weird around here. So we'll chat with you then.
Thanks, really enjoy this. You guys have a great week.
All right, appreciate it, Hutt. You do the same. All right, coming up next, we've got a lot of your input and your insights. We are right to your phones on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow night for MTSU Men's Basketball. The Blue Raiders are at home facing Louisiana Tech, with pregame beginning at 7:30 p.m. and tip-off at 8 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Appreciate Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, for joining us in the last segment. But we are reacting to what we heard from Rand Carthon's press conference yesterday and Amy Adams Strunk's, not a press conference, but a sit-down with Mike Keith about the vision of the organization. Now, they're not going to share what that vision is, but it is there, and they assure us of that. So I want to get into your reaction on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tristan has been waiting very patiently. What's up, Tristan?
Yes, I think they don't have a vision right now. Like Indiana Struck, said, we wanted to win a Super Bowl, but Rand Carthon didn't say he had a vision. Like, I think we need somebody who coach the Titans, like Jeff Fisher, to come in as like president or something, like a former coach, like who knows the Nashville city, like how like Nashville Preds got Barry Trotz to become general manager and a former player who scored the first point for Nashville Preds to become the head coach. I think we need kind of that restructure for Tennessee
Titans. Thanks for your
call,
Tristan. Yeah, appreciate your insight. I don't need anyone with ties to Nashville.
No,
if you have it, great. Yeah. If you that's not a prerequisite of mine. No. But to Tristan's point, I do think that they have a vision. I don't think that you can part ways with your head coach, who has had a lot of success here, and cite the vision for the reason being why
all
you
right.
let go of him and not have said vision.
Let me introduce something we have not discussed, because I think we're getting way too tied up in the vision. Why say it? Why not? It's just one of many, many things that I think are important going forward. One thing that was in the statement that I thought was noteworthy: Amy Adams made it a point to say, we've had the most injuries of any team over the last 3 years. And she seemed to be putting that on Vrabel. And Rand Carthon got asked about that, and he said, yeah, we got to figure out why that's happening. Mm-hmm. I still don't think that is fair to put on a coach as a reason why we're making a change. But it sounded like that was an ownership from the outside saying, look, here are the facts. We've had 3 years where we've been derailed by injuries to a large extent, which is a fact. But is that a reflection of the coach? Is that fair?
I mean, is it fair?
I don't know.
I mean, she said
fair,
it. It's in the statement.
But football isn't fair. I mean, but then you got to go back to we talked about this earlier, the development of the roster. Has the roster been developed?
That's
the coaches that you've hired.
Have
those coaches done their job in developing players? We can answer that question.
No.
It hadn't. So if that is indeed the case, then, you know, she chose to make the decision based upon that and other reasons. And, you know, maybe we didn't hear exactly what we wanted to hear. But, you know, she kept everything vague. She told you what she wanted you to know. And the GM sort of echoed it. But then he also took the blame for the offensive line. And
did he?
Yeah, he said it was my fault,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he did. He said that more than once.
Yeah, he said
he's taken his share of the blame for that.
He said that was my fault.
He said that several times. Well, he said both.
He said, yeah,
he said both.
That's his fault.
And he's trying to give you an answer. So, again, like you said, you may not like the answer, but he did say, I'll take a lot of the responsibility of that. But let's tie it all in together. Because the injuries were used against Vrabel for sure. Hutton brought up an interesting point. Rand Carthon, I think you could argue, because he was charged when they first came in, build a deeper roster. Mm-hmm. It's one way you deal with injuries is you have more depth on your roster. Now, Rand Carthon inherited a roster where you're paying way, way more for a free safety than most people pay. You're paying way, way more for a tailback than most teams pay. You've got a very expensive quarterback on the last year of his deal that's starting to get some age on him, starting to get injury prone. I think he looked at that roster and said, well, if you want me to build the roster, we got to do something about these contracts. I think he started down that road with Byard saying, would you take less? You know, I think he wanted to go there, but I think Mike Vrabel was like, oh, well, hold on. If we're collaborating, I want to run it back, and I want to try to win with this group. And I think Rand probably said, okay, that's what we'll do. But know that it's going to be hard to address the depth with what we have left over. To address the depth, there is a salary cap. And I know Jared keeps saying, well, they could have done this, they could have done. Yes, but that would have pushed the credit card bill down the road. You have kind of an ownership that is not cash heavy to be able to write big checks. So you're trying to do it with some boundaries there. I think Rand, if he had his way, might have said, okay, I might have started this rebuild a little bit more. Now, he's in a position to go get more depth because there's no excuses now. They're going to have more money to work with now.
Well, he came in saying, you know, because the big question is, well, what are you going to do with the quarterback? He came in saying, listen, I need to evaluate the quarterback first. Mike has done his evaluation. Everybody has done their evaluation. Before I can answer that question, I need to evaluate the quarterback. Okay, well, what are you going to do in regards to this, this, and this? Well, I'm going to defer. I'm not going to come in here and clean house and hire. I'm going to defer to the coaching staff in regards to this. And I think he did defer to Mike. I think if it was up to him, he would have moved on from Kevin Byard because of the contract. He asked the man to take a pay cut. And then it got
out. Everybody freaked out.
And everybody freaked out. So he's like, okay.
But it wasn't ridiculous for him to do that.
Exactly. Absolutely. So how do we sort of write this? Well, Mike, this is your guy. Okay, let's try to work a way around this. Because he's not looking at this season. He's looking at seasons moving forward. Like, we got to get everything back in order. You know, these guys making this much amount of money, you know, it's not feasible. Like, they're on the tail end, and we're still paying him as if he's a, you know, one or two safety. Kevin Byard is damn good, but he wasn't a top two or three safety in this league. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't. But he was good. But even if you're important, you got to look at the checks and balances of it all. Does this make sense moving forward? Him making $17 million or whatever it was, he's declining. The running back making his money, he's declining. The quarterback, we're not going to move on with the quarterback because he's already sort of restructured his contract once, and we don't want to push anything down the road any longer with him because we feel we've drafted a guy. So with all that being said, okay, I couldn't make the Kevin Byard move. Vrabes, what do you want? Keep Kevin. All right, we'll keep him. Restructure the deal. He didn't take a pay cut because he was going to get that money through incentives. He wasn't here. I don't think he was here long enough to get the incentives. I think they got to a point where it was like, okay, this season is pretty much a loss. We need to get something back for this guy. We need to trade him. And he did a favor to to Kevin Byard with trading him to the Philadelphia Eagles, who many at that time were the front runners to make it to the Super Bowl. Now, that's a little different now, but they still have a shot. So you did him a favor all while doing yourself a favor for next season.
Sounds like a vision to me. Yeah. Why couldn't that have been part of what Rand Carthon said? Of look, we have a lot of attrition on this team. We have draft capital. We are excited about the future of our team.
They need a little more draft capital, actually. I think
we're excited about the future of our team, the future of our quarterback. We want this, this, and this. That's all I'm asking for. Back into your phones on this. Adam in Portland is on the line with a thought on Mike Vrabel. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. Hey, everyone's overthinking this. It is not fair to fire J-Rob, keep losing, fire Tannehill, keep losing. And who's left? Like, you got to fire him. Like, give Rand a chance. Besides that Jags game, I think we could all agree, was just everybody playing their butt off for Derrick Henry. We have a team with a Hall of Fame linebacker coach that could not tackle, was penalized all the time, couldn't stop the run, couldn't pass block. That the special teams blunder that got our freaking punter, who's our best player, hurt. Like, nobody's going to forget this stuff, man. Like, I didn't forget it. Like, and he fielded the most hurt team in league history 2 years in a row, which you could say is like, oh, poor Vrabel. I say is, oh, negligent Vrabel. Like, so you didn't change something inside your staff there, and that's a problem, dude. When the smoke settles, I mean, you get nothing but attitude from the guy. Like, I'm sick of it. I mean, he can sit there and put his hands on his head and do all that. He refused to move on from his buddies until he got people hurt. Like, she fired me up. I'm ready to have a winning football team again. Not the crap I get from him every day. So, got
well,
to coach better, play better. He can do that crap in New England.
You don't have to worry about that anymore. But, Adam, I do want to get your thought on one thing, because you said you're fired up. You want to have a winning football team. Do you feel like the Titans are set up for success and to win next season?
Next season? No. Hell no, man. I think we're like 3 years out. But I think the only fair thing to do, if you're going to change stuff, completely change it. Like, okay, Vrabel's gone. Derrick Henry needs to be gone. Anybody else, like Dylan Rand, like all these guys who you think, how do they still play here? They all have to be gone. We have to completely start over.
All right. Thank you for your call, Adam.
Well, unfortunately, you can't do all that. I mean, I think we talked about this earlier. Now, And Rand talked about it too. Listen, that offensive line wasn't good. Everybody knows that.
It was more than injuries.
Yeah, it was injuries. It was they never been built any cohesiveness. I'm just telling you from a football standpoint. Now, I didn't think the offensive line, I don't think any of those guys beside Peter Skoronski are, they can play in this league, but I don't think they're starters in this league. So you have this team, and you have this offensive line that's beat up and all this other stuff. So eventually, I think in his mind, he said sometimes it's not just the player, it's the sum of the parts. That's why I said you don't have to rebuild this whole – I remember vehemently saying this. You don't have to rebuild the whole offensive line. Just give me a left tackle and a new center. We can work with the guys over there. Give me a new offensive line coach, because it's the sum of all these guys working together. If I give me a stud at left tackle, get me another Ben Jones type center, and you can leave Hubbard over there if you want to, and figure something out. If you want to throw Nicholas back there and see what he can do at the right tackle, fine. Because my thing is, you allow these guys to build together. I guarantee you this. If you get you a tackle, left tackle, bona fide left tackle, you get you a solid veteran, this will be a much different offensive line. Much different. Because it's the sum of the part. It's the whole, not just one individual.
And it is a lot easier said than done, at least as we've seen.
So you can't just revamp the whole offensive line.
Now, I don't think you got to have five new guys.
No, you can't.
It's going to be hard to do. Biting off too much.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
You got to work with what you do have and fill the right guys in the right spot.
Exactly.
And that's the key, is the right guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This organization, this team cannot afford missteps or misdrafts or misacquisitions.
Definitely. And I think the we have to put in the big picture here. A lot of teams are struggling to find offensive linemen.
Yes.
And there's reasons for it. You can, the spread offenses and the college game's so different now. It just has really put a premium on offensive linemen. It's hard to find them.
Let's get right back into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3. The Game and Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Yusuf Parsonen and Philip Tomasino. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company.
You mentioned how nobody's happy with the outcome of this season. How much blame do you put on yourself for a 6-11 season?
I mean, obviously, I'm one of the pieces in the talent acquisition part, you know, so I wholeheartedly take a lot of the blame, you know, and I have no problems with that. Again, I've been a part of losing seasons, you know, throughout my career. But I've been a part of some, you know, some really big winning seasons, specifically these last couple of years. And so that's not a part of my nature. I don't accept losing. You know, you have the, you know, the piece out there. Well, hey, if you continue to lose, you get a higher draft position. I don't give a damn about a draft position. I'm here to win football games, and that's what I'll ultimately be judged on.
All right. I love that. And the reason why I wanted to share that clip was because I felt like that from Rand Carthon, that answer. I do not tolerate losing. Mm-hmm. Screw the draft. I want to win games. I felt like that was from the heart. I felt like that was Rand Carthon speaking. That was the most genuine response that I felt like I heard from Rand Carthon yesterday. That everything else that he shared with the media. Now, again, we've addressed that AD put him in a tough position, mm-hmm. having to answer to the questions that are probably more tailored for her about why she decided to move on from Mike. But I feel like everything was just dripping in, you know, it kind of filtered mm-hmm. to fit what Amy wanted. It was just kind of dripping in Titans GM speak. That was Rand Carthon. And frankly, I wanted to hear more of that. I want to hear more from what Rand wants for this team. He wants to win. He doesn't tolerate losing. And I liked hearing that. That was the most genuine response I felt like I heard from Rand Carthon yesterday. And I appreciated that. Want more of it.
I'll give you one other one uh-huh. that caught my attention in the where he kind of got away from the script and the, you know, the being mindful of, okay, I don't want to say anything bad about Vrabel. I don't want to say anything about Amy. I got to stay in bounds here. But when he stopped and reflected a little bit on maybe I do need to talk a little bit more and connect with the fans, I thought that said something. It told me that he was thinking about how he wants to go forward with that. And I said this weeks ago when he started disappearing. I think it's smart for him to get out there, get his message out there.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a press conference,
but it's
ways
message,
you can do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But that, I mean, isn't that what we want people to do? Recognize your faults.
Yes.
Verbally express those things.
And but take then, accountability.
Exactly, take accountability and get better. He said all of those things. Like, yeah, I take part of full responsibility for what went on this past season. I'm about winning. That's all I'm about. I don't care about a draft pick, you know, position. I just care about winning. So basically he took responsibility for what happened this season. He's not going to throw it on Vrabel. Vrabel's not here anymore. Just like Vrabel didn't throw anything on John Robinson when John Robinson was fired. Vrabel kept it pretty much to the script with what Amy wanted to be put out there. He didn't want to throw John under the bus, and we still speculated whether, do they get along? Do John and Vrabel get along? This was a power move by Vrabel, this and that and that and this. I'm sticking to the script. This is what the owner. I'm not trying to make no ruffles. I enjoyed John while he was here. He's not here anymore. The owner made a decision. I got to live with that decision. And it's ironic that Rand's following the same script that Amy. Look, I'm not going to talk bad about our head coach, our former head coach. This is what it was. We had a good relationship. But Miss Amy told you these are the reasons why I'm choosing to move forward with this decision. Not only the stuff on the field, but more importantly, from an organizational standpoint, things were just out of the whack.
I want to get your thoughts on this. Wes in Hermitage is on the line with a thought on the Titans' vision. What's up, Wes?
How are y'all doing? I know tensions are high, so I'm going to ask permission first. Y'all got time for a joke? Even though
no, tensions are not high. Go ahead with the joke.
Tensions are not high, Wes.
I just figured I needed to lighten the mood up real quick because it's been pretty dark over the past 24 hours around here. Okay. But yeah, man, I changed the all the labels on the spice rack in the kitchen this morning. Uh-huh. Now, I'm not in trouble yet, but the time is cumin.
I like that nice. One. I like it.
Well done.
God, man, my best friend posted that on his story today, and I had to share it. But yeah, I wanted to reiterate kind of what Caroline was saying because I fully agree with you. I felt like the Titans were embarrassed and looked stupid after the Colts game.
I felt like the Titans looked stupid and were embarrassed after the Texans games wearing the Oilers uniform. I think she got tired of looking dumb. And I think because of her being tired of looking dumb all the time, that's why she said, hey, Ren, this is what you can say, and this is what you can't say at the press conference, which really made him look like a fish out of water. And, you know, you can blame Rand for that. I'm sure he could have said more, but I put a lot of the press conference yesterday on Amy for not having him set up for success. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, the reason why he's not sharing this vision, right or wrong, and I know you kind of touched on this, Willie, but if they go out and say, well, Vrabel was a defensive-minded coach, this is a league that's, you know, adapting to the offense, and we need an offensive-minded guy in here, and then they try to get Bobby Slowick and they can't, and they try to get Ben Johnson and they can't, and then they're stuck with, I think it's Mike McDonald from the Ravens, defensive coordinator.
Isn't that the Doobie Brothers guy?
I think so.
Mike McDonald?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, if they get stuck with their caught with their pants down again, she's going to look dumb, and this time she won't be able to blame it on Vrabel. So hide the vision. Don't talk about it until you know that you've got the guy that you want to get, and then you can talk about it. Now, I don't agree with that because I think they should come out and say, we want an offensive guy. These are, you know, these are some people that we're looking at. Maybe it is a little too early for that, but just coming out there and having a press conference after not the day before, it just – yeah, he said nothing. So we're sitting here as fans, like, scratching our heads still, like, we see what you did. What are we doing going forward? And they're just kind of like, hey, just calm down. We're not going to tell you right now, so don't ask. Yep. And I don't like that.
Great call, Wes. Appreciate you for calling in. You know, that's the thing. And we talked with Jonathan Hutton about this earlier, and he said it's not about offensive or defensive. You don't have to get into the weeds of we want a coach that's 6'3". You know, you don't have to get into the exact specifics, because you're right. You don't want to push yourself into a corner. You don't want to put yourself in a difficult position where you promise one thing and then you do another thing. But you don't need to identify offensive or defensive mind or an offensive or defensive coach in order to kind of give bullet points of what you want for this organization.
It's actually easy to do, and you know, again, it's sort of just media training in my mind, because it doesn't mean that he doesn't know what he's looking for or Amy doesn't know what she's looking for necessarily. It's just choosing not to say, I'm not going to share it with you, rather than just come up with coach speak and just say, we're looking for a guy who's the right fit that's going to help us win. I mean, he could have said it any number of dozens of different ways.
Because that's what it comes across as.
Yeah, but the key is comes across. It's not important. It's not relevant to me. That's just my opinion. I know a lot of people are reading into every word that is being dissected in a press conference that was, as I called it before, I'll continue to call it, it was a minefield. He's getting stuff coming from all over the place. He is finishing up his first year as a GM. He's in a very tough spot. So if he slipped up a couple of times, just like when Ryan Tannehill slipped up and said, I'm not a mentor for Malik Willis, he got barbecued for weeks in the summer, and it didn't mean anything. Yeah. It didn't mean anything.
We roasted him.
Don't think it means anything that he chose not to say the vision or whatever. They want to win.
You said it's not relevant. I have to disagree. I think right now the vision for the Titans is the most relevant thing surrounding this franchise. Let's continue the conversation coming up next. Look ahead. You know, Rand Carthon said he'll be conducting this coaching search. Amy Adams Strunk will be, I'm sure, in lockstep with him. Is this a good job? Is this an attractive position for a coaching candidate out there? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, we'll get back into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan Thursday night for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be on the road taking on Kentucky. Pre-game begins at 5:45 p.m. Tip-off at 6 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.